And happy new year. We're going to open with prayer as always. Lord, we just thank you for the new year, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, as we go into this new year, Lord God, that next year, this time, we are better. We are closer to you. Oh, Lord, we commit to grow in you this year, Lord. We commit, Lord, that you will increase and we will decrease, Lord God. We just thank you for your many, many blessings today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the sun rising in the east, Lord God. If we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. And Lord, we ask, oh Lord, for your Holy Spirit to come and move in this class, not just this class, but all up and down the halls, Lord, all over the house of God. Let your Holy Ghost come and move and minister to us, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you and we continue to expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're getting back to it, guys. And we were on the lesson, session 10, how the postures of prayer. For those of you that are new, can I borrow your book for a second, Virginia? We are studying this book, Battle Plan for Prayer. It is the companion book to The War Room, and it is by the Kendrick Brothers. And we are all the way up through session 10, but don't worry, just jump on in. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll relate to what we're talking about. And it just talks about just the different aspects of prayer. And we're on the section that talks about the how of prayer. And we were on session 10 talks about postures of prayer. Sometimes we don't think about the posture that we're in when we're praying. So I'm just going to review from the ones that we've done already. We started out with learning about the posture of bowing your head on your knee means. And that, of course, we know that it's a sign of allegiance. It's an expression of honor when we bow our heads, when we bow our knees. And that's probably the most common way in which we pray, in which we go into a bowing posture. And that it is a way, especially when we bring our head low, it denotes that we are bringing ourself, our intellect, whatever we have, our thought processes, we are bringing it under subjection to God. So that's what that bowing, that posture of bowing is all about. Prayer is not a place, we talked about, to inform God. It's a place where we come and we submit to God. And that's what we have to know. When we come to God, we come with humility. We come with our request, but we come humbly before him. We talked about another posture of prayer is lying prostrate. And this is when you're just down on your face. And this is a point where you're just like, you know what? I have just done everything and I give up. And now I am ready to lie prostrate before the Lord. There's no resistance anymore. You've stopped arguing with God and you're ready to just surrender yourself. So lying prostrate, getting down on your face before God and letting him know that you're ready to obey what he has said. And this was the case. We use the example. That was the case in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 8, it talks about how the children of Israel lie prostrate. And this was after they were brought back from Babylon after being in captivity for 70 years. They had done their thing and they had sinned against God and they were taken by the Babylonians captive and they had been under the Babylonian rule for 70 years. And then when they finally got back to their home in Jerusalem, and it was time for Ezra the priest to get up before them, and Ezra told them the law of God, they laid prostrate on their face because they had been through enough. And sometimes that's how we are. We have been through so much. We have resisted God. We have done things our own way. And there comes a point where we're just done and we're ready to lie prostrate. And it's just it's a posture of surrender before God when we're lying prostrate before him. So in the next, we talked about was with lifted hands. That's another posture. Thank you, Rita. That's another posture that we have before God is when we lift our hands. Rita, would you please close that door and I'll stop working you. Rita's my assistant teacher. So I'll leave you alone after that. Lifted hands is another posture of prayer. And with lifted hands, you are showing, again, a position of total worship and total praise. Everything you have belongs to God. The hands are lifted and the hands are open, showing that everything you are and everything that you have, you release to God. holding nothing back, and you're praising him and you're worshiping him. So that's what that lifting of hands means. That's a posture of just surrender also and release, releasing anything that you would want to hold back from God. So that's a lifting of hands. And then we talked about the lifting of eyes. The lifting of eyes to God is another posture. You know, sometimes there's all this chaos going on around you. But when you lift your eyes to God, you're showing him that I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at the situation. I see it. I know what's going on. But Lord, my eyes are on you. As I heard one preacher say, the outlook may be gloomy, but the uplook is glorious. So you look up to God. Your eyes look up to him. And even though whatever's going on, and we use the Psalm of David in 121. David said, he made a distinction in Psalm 121 as to where we lift our eyes when he wrote, I will lift up my eyes to the hills of Jerusalem, says the Amplified, from where my help comes from. And then there's a question mark. He's asking a rhetorical question. Will I lift up my eyes to Jerusalem for where my help comes from? Question mark. And then he goes on to say, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Because they used to put the idols, you know, when Israel got into idol worship and had people in the city that were worshiping idols, they would put their idols up on the hills. And so David was making a point. Will I lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, he says. You know, and sometimes if we relate it to today, what do we lift up our eyes to on this earth? You know, is it our money? Is it our positioning? Is it our status? Is it the governments? Is it all these things that we lift our eyes up to? You know, and David said, my help comes from the Lord. So it doesn't matter, you know, what you have or what you don't have. You lift up your eyes to the Lord in the middle of everything. You lift up your eyes to the Lord. And I just want to, this quote from Matthew Henry commentary on this particular verse. And he says, if he do not help, no creature can help. If he do, no creature can hinder or hurt. I love that. That was a comment by Matthew Henry that if God helps, if God doesn't help, then nobody else can help you. And if he does help, no one can hinder you or hurt you. And that's something that you have to always keep in mind, that God is God. And now we move on to silence. And this is, I love this part. I love this posture of prayer. You know, it's silence. It's a posture. It's a posture because you're keeping your mouth shut. It's not just your physical, your muscles, but also your voice. You know, your voice box, your larynx is a muscle. You know, so as far as keeping quiet before God, and I love this part because there comes a point where you need to be quiet before God and let God talk. You know, I've ever, you've been in this prayer meeting, people just, Jesus, and you know, they're just talking, and Lord, another thing I want you to do, I want you to do this, and I'm like, can we just have a moment of silence? And let's see what the Holy Ghost got to say to us, okay? You know, let's hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, so there comes a time when we want to be silent. I love this song that we were playing by Brian Duncan, and You, I Find My Peace. You know, and it's so true. In him, you're going to find peace. And sometimes that comes when you are silent before God. So your lesson says silence. Beyond physical postures, what we do with our voices in prayer is also important. Sometimes the best thing we can do in prayer is to be still and know that he is God. And that's from our book on page 64. The posture of silence is perhaps my most favorite time before the Lord in prayer. It is a time when you become quiet and listen to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Often the Holy Spirit will speak to you through scripture or a praise and worship song brought back to your remembrance. And sometimes it's just a still small voice that speaks truth to you about yourself and about situations if we would just be silent before the Lord. And you know it's God because it resonates in your spirit. You know when it's God. You know when you're emotional and you know when it's all you. You know it because your blood is at a low simmer and you're ready to do something in the flesh. You know that's you. But when God speaks to you, you know when it's him too, because you know that there's a truth that resonates through you when it's God speaking. When we are silent, God can speak through your gifts and he can speak through your talents. He can speak through your callings. You know, some of the songs that are written, I know it's written as songwriters got quiet before God and the Holy Spirit spoke these songs that they have written, these old hymns that we still sing to this day. They're so anointed. So you know it's something that God spoke through a songwriter. And whatever your talent is, you know, you would be amazed at what God would speak to you if you just get quiet before. Whatever your talent is, it could be sewing, it could be cooking, it could be teaching, it could be preaching, the fivefold ministry gifts, just getting quiet. Never get to a place where you think you're all that you can't get quiet before God. I don't need you today, Lord. I got this. I got this lesson all together. Oh, no, you're making a big mistake, folks. And we've seen it happen. Some of the greatest, greatest preachers in America came tumbling down. And I can tell you, it was lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. When we start to move away from that time with God and hearing his voice, we are in trouble when we start doing that. That's why we want to take the time always to be silent. You know, the preacher hears the word for the congregation. The teacher hears the word for the class. The musician can hear the melody for the worshipers. The writer hears statements to record for future generations. If they would just get silent before God. Silence coupled with faith turns up the volume of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Silence coupled with faith will turn up the volume of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you can just say, Lord, just speak to me. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. And he will do just that. In your lesson, it says, Jesus used the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear. And that's in Matthew 11:15. And he said it again in Matthew 13:9 and in 13:43. And then in Revelation 29, the final book of the New Testament, he says it once again. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. Each time that Jesus used this phrase, he was trying to impart a truth to the people. To hear what the Spirit is saying, you must be silent. If you're talking and talking and talking, I tell you, if you're talking all the time, you know, and sometimes have you ever been around a person that's talkative? They're talking and talking and talking and talking, and you can't even hear your own thoughts. You know, and I doubt that they can hear their own thoughts sometimes because they're just talking. And sometimes you just want to, you know what, I just need to go away from you for a while. You don't say that, but you just like, you know what, I just need to, you know, those of you that are introverts, you know what I'm talking about. You are worn down by a talkative person, you know, and sometimes you need to be alone. And I find with the introverts in particular, they need to be alone. Why? So they can be energized. And often from the voice of God, they have to be energized, even just from the silence, it energizes them. So again, we want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Each time that Jesus used this phrase, he was trying to impart a truth. To hear the Spirit, you must be silent before him. Not just silent in your mouth, but silent in your mind and your heart. Setting aside your thoughts and agendas of the day for his. This is how your day should begin. You know, because every morning when you wake up, your brain has reset itself. You know, and that's why you feel so good when you get up, because your brain has reset. There's actually a chemical transition that takes place where you feel, you know, you feel you wake up, your neurotransmitters in your brain have been renewed, and you feel like getting up again. And boy, the first thing you should do is get in tune with the Holy Spirit and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And get silent before him and get prayerful before him. Read his word and hear what he has for your agenda for the day. And sometimes God will, if you just ask, Lord, I want your agenda today. I have things to do. I have a schedule to keep. I have places I need to be. But Lord, I ask for your agenda in my day. And boy, I tell you, if you ask God for that, watch things happen. And sometimes it'll kind of tick you off a little bit, like, oh my God, I gotta go start. The Lord is leading me to go talk to this person, and I just don't have the time, but do what God tells you to do. Because sometimes, yes, he's going to mess with your schedule. I'm going to tell you right now, because his agenda is going to be brought into your life if you ask for it. But I'm telling you, you won't regret it. You will never regret it. And he will work out whatever problems come up in your schedule. He always has. Just take the time to hear the Holy Ghost. Do this, do that. Buy that one a coffee. Go and talk to this one for a little bit. You know, encourage that person. Say this to that one. You know, God's agenda. And this happens when you spend that time in silence before the Lord. And he'll bring people to your mind to pray for. People that were brought to your remembrance. People you haven't seen for a long time. He'll bring those people to your remembrance. And now you're getting into the agenda of Christ. And not just your own agenda. The agenda of God is the most important agenda of the day. Your lesson says everyone heard Jesus with their physical ears, but all did not have an ear to hear or receive the truths of what he was teaching. The same is true today. People can read the Bible. People can, you know, hear a lot of things, but they still miss so much. They miss the point. They miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to them. And I know that because, you know, when you read scripture and suddenly a revelation comes out of it that you hadn't seen before, because the Holy Spirit is now able to talk to you and say, this is what this means. Like, my God, I've heard that all my life. And I never got that. Because now the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. So silence with the expectancy of the Holy Spirit's voice opens the ears of mankind to hear. So silence with experience. I know you're trying to get that. Yeah. Okay. So silence with the expectancy of the Holy Spirit opens the voice and the ears of mankind. So
stop it.
Okay, poor attitudes. Okay, poor attitudes, unrepentant, unforgiving hearts remain deaf to the Spirit's voice. Let me say that again. Poor attitudes. Unrepentant hearts, unforgiving hearts remain deaf to the Spirit. They don't want to hear it. They got their agenda to get back at somebody. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. That's Psalm 51:17. And so God is looking for that heart that has the walls down. God is looking for the heart that's quiet before him. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Well, that's the time when you need to get quiet before the Lord and just tell him, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I just press into you. Lord, just tell me, just lead my steps today. I'm not sure what to do with this situation. And watch the Lord speak to you. He will not reject a broken and a repentant heart. And we've already been through some of the things that that can hinder prayer. And we're going to go into a whole chapter on what hinders prayer and what opens prayer up. But as we continue on the postures of prayer, it's important to remember, as you are silent before the Holy Spirit, he will never tell you anything against the Word of God. And I need to put that in there, because sometimes people come up with all kind of things. They say, God said this and God said that. God is never going to tell you to do anything that is against his word. And he's not going to tell anybody else to do anything that's against his word. So if you ever confront it with somebody that said, God said, but yet it doesn't line up with the word of God, it wasn't God speaking to them. They may be sincere as all get out, but it was not God speaking. And remember, we have an enemy. We have an adversary. We're surrounded by the hordes of hell, always trying to deceive us and trying to take us down a certain path. And that's why we just need to know the word of God. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it's not in your lesson, but you might want to write this down. It says, and the Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. He will flow with what he is already doing. And that's 1 Corinthians 14:33. And it says, 1 Corinthians 14:33. And it says, in another verse, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in the churches of the saints. And the apostle was writing this to the church because this kind of stuff was going on. People were speaking out of turn. There was disruption in the services. There was disorder in the services. People saying, God said, God said. And, you know, the apostle had to write this to the church. God is not the author of confusion. He's not going to tell you to do one thing over here and then somebody else is doing something that's contrasting to what you're doing. You know, so again, you've got to really know what God, what the Holy Spirit is saying. And again, it resonates with your spirit. But sometimes people do step out of line because of so many reasons. And I tell you, most reasons it comes back to pride. Always comes back to pride. I want to be seen. I want to see my gift. I'll see this, see that, whatever, you know. And we have to know that God does not the author of confusion in his church. So when you're listening and being silent before the Holy Spirit, he'll never tell you anything against the word of God. That's a take-home point. The next point in your lesson says, when the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, it will always line up with the word of God. The Holy Trinity is never divided on their truth. The Holy Trinity is never divided on their truth, okay? The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you one thing and then you hear the voice of Jesus whisper something different, okay? They are one, three in one, the Holy Trinity. This rule will keep you from getting off track and falling into the enemy's traps. And sometimes, as I said, people mean well. You might mean well, but you better check the Word of God with whatever you're thinking and saying and doing. It should line up. If it doesn't line up, then reject it. It is not the Word of God. It is not what God is saying. This happens to some believers. They feel that they hear in their heads, and sometimes they hear in their own heads, and sometimes it's from the enemy, that it supersedes the Holy Word of God. Never think that. What you're hearing in your head, so many people have gotten off, and I mean way off, because they heard something in their head. It didn't line up with the Word of God, but they were so convinced that it was the Holy Spirit. The scriptures comment in Hosea, another scripture to write down. It's not in your lesson. Hosea 4 and 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. I mean, that's in what the word of God says about that. Don't forget the law of God. Study your word. Know your word. You know, so when things come up to you and you know, you think you're hearing something in silent prayer. You know, sometimes you got to rebuke the devil coming in your, you know, he'll come in your prayer time trying to drop stuff in there. And he knows, he's watching, you know, and seeing what you want, you know, and sometimes he likes to drop in your spirit what you want or drop in your mind. He can't touch your spirit, drop in your mind what you want, you know, and you got to make sure you bring everything under subjection to what the word of God is saying and speak Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost speaks, you'll know it. You'll know it. The next point says, when you are silent before God and his truth speaks to your spirit, you will know it. You change when God speaks. Your emotions change when God speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks. Love overflows when the Holy Spirit speaks. Boy, I don't know if you've ever had that happen where you just, boy, you may have been miffed at somebody and then you go and just go into prayer, Lord, just help me. And the Holy Spirit comes and that stuff just melts away. And the Holy Spirit ministers to you, and you change. Jesus taught, this is in your lesson, Jesus taught, the sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them, and they follow me. And that's John 10:27. And another warning, often when the Holy Spirit speaks truth to you, it will often go against your mind, your will, and your emotions. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Because yes. Holy Spirit will speak something. Oh man, I was telling somebody that story the other day about, oh, I was so mad at this person. The Lord told me they were sick and the Lord told me go take them some soup. And you know, I didn't want to take them any soup. I did not want to take them any soup. But the Holy Spirit said to do so. And so I did it, you know. And another time he told me to apologize to this person. I'm like, for what? They're the ones that did it to me. Why do I have to apologize? But the Holy Spirit said apologize. So I did. I just apologized for that. And they said, well, I apologize to you too, like that, with that attitude. And oh boy, I wanted to turn around and give him a right hook, you know. But you know, I just walked away. I said, Lord, I just being obedient. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will, I warn you, he's going to tell you things that are going to go against your your will and your emotions. You're not going to want to do it, but you're going to know this is what God said, you know, because you've already felt the conviction, you know, and you already felt what you should do. And God is going to tell you to do things that, you know, and maybe they've even been rejected by everybody. Nobody can stand them. But the Holy Spirit will tell you to do something for them. And to love on them and to care for them. So again, being silent before God, oh man, the Holy Spirit starts speaking these things to you. And you're like, you can't mean, yes, he does. So a warning, your mind, your will, and your emotions, it'll go against your mind. What makes sense to you? What's logical to you? Oh yes, you know, you see some of these missionaries that go to these countries, they quit their job and God calls them over to these. And you're like, what kind of, what? Because when God speaks, it goes against your mind. Goes against your logic. It goes against what you think makes sense. You know, and God will tell you to do something that is so different. You know, quit your job. I want you to do this and do that. You know, give your car away to this person or do that. You know, God will tell you to do, what? You know, yeah, he told me to do that one time. And I was like, what? You got to be kidding. I just paid for the thing. I just was looking forward to know. You know, and you got to argue with God. Yeah, you know, and God will sit there and let you argue.
You gave him your car?
Yeah, God told me to.
Oh, don't get her on that van story.
Don't get her. It was a
car story, whatever. Don't. Yeah.
And I was just, and God told me to do it, and I just blew it off. I said, no, he can't be. And I'm seeing this person that with children, young children that needed a van. And I'm like, no, please, Jesus, please. I just finished praying for it. I had a financial plan in place, and I was not going to have a car payment. And he said, do it.
Wow.
And you know,
and
but
she
I didn't
get it.
Yeah, but not right away. Not right away.
I know.
Several things happen. You know, he even sent a hailstorm. I'm so convinced he sent that hailstorm. You know, I mean, that few years back when we had those, I mean, it was golf ball, at least golf ball size hail that hit Pueblo, and I was downtown right in the middle of that stuff, and I had to pull over under a tree, and I was like, okay, Jesus, I promise, I'll get the van. I was on the floor of that van, you know, praying that the hailstones weren't going to come through that windshield. And I gave that van away, you know, and praise God, you know, God blessed with another one. But it goes against your logic is what the point I'm trying to make. It's going against your financial plan. You got a plan in place. You cholerics, you melancholy cholerics, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you guys have got your lives planned out. And God comes in and just messes with your stuff. You know, I tell people, I wasn't one of these people floating around life trying to find myself. You know, I had a plan. And God comes in and he changes the plan. You know, and you have to be submitted to it. You have to be open to it. If you're saying that you are his, you know, and he'll bring that in silence when you're quiet before him. That's when he'll speak that still small voice. He'll speak. Give your van away to, and he'll tell you the person to give it to. And I was like, Lord, but you saw my plan. But God is good. Silence, when you're silent before God, you're ready to surrender. Be ready to surrender your will, your lesson says. David wrote, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. This is Psalm 62:1. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, he says. From him comes my salvation. The silence before God brings an encouragement to your salvation. It brings encouragement. It enhances your life with Christ when you're silent before him. Your salvation is your preservation. It's your deliverance from harm. It's your deliverance from ruin and loss. This is your salvation. And God, when you get silent before him, as David wrote, he will enhance your salvation. David realized that his hope would come from the direction of the Holy Spirit and all the situations that he encountered. Your lesson says the posture of silence is where most of us are changed as the Holy Spirit does his work in us. Okay, sometimes we like to pray for everybody else. Bless this one, bless that one, bless Bob, bless Joe, bless Mary, bless Sally. But I'm telling you, when you start to be quiet, that's when the Holy Spirit is going to tell you about you. And he's going to tell you where you need some work and, you know, what we need to work on. You know, and he'll just tell you point blank right in the eyes that, you know, you need to work on your love. You don't love. But I do this and I do that. Love. You know, and if you're quiet before God, God tells you about yourself. And he talks to you in such an intimate way about yourself and things that he wants to move and minister in your life. Your lesson says it is where repentance begins. Repentance begins when you finally are quiet. When we are silent, finally silent before the Lord. We've ranted and argued and justified our way, and now it is time for him to speak. He or she who has an ear, let him hear. So it comes that way. You know, you've talked and you've talked and you've ranted and raved and you've been upset about this and upset about that. But I'm telling you, when you get quiet before God, he starts to talk to you. And I'll tell you from experience, he's going to start with you. He'll start with you. And what you need to do, he's not going to start with that person that has been annoying you and has done things to you. He's going to start with you and how you need to change. The songwriter wrote, I get on my knees, I get on my knees, and there I am before the love that changes me. See, I don't know how, but there's power when I'm on my knees. You know, and that's by Jackie Velasquez's song, a line from her song. And again, anointed by the Holy Ghost, you know, I could, you know, just see her probably quiet, whoever wrote the song, just being quiet before God and just hearing that's where I am before the love that changes me. I stop talking so I can hear him talking and speaking. He'll bring his word back to your remembrance. He'll bring situations back to your remembrance and how you need to do even future events, that things that are coming. He will tell you how to respond. You might have had a meeting today and you may have had a plan on what you were going to say. And boy, he will come in and he will change your response. He's done it to me so many times. I was ready to lay into some folks. And God will come in and he'll change it. And he always changes it to a love thing, you know, where you're not telling somebody off, but you're loving them. And it's more ministering to them than beating them up, you know. And that's the way Jesus always is. He never comes to beat people up. He always comes to minister to people. And that's why we just love him. The next point in your lesson says the posture of silence in prayer brings intimacy with God. This is what occurs between God, what occurred between God and Hannah. The Bible records Hannah's heart was in anguish over not having a child. Sometimes the pain in your heart is so great that you cannot speak out loud, even to yourself. Have you ever been there? You can't even talk about it. Even to yourself. You can't even talk about it. You can't even think about it. I just want to think about something else. You know, because the anguish is too great. Sometimes there are no words, just a communication of your spirit to God's. God always hears the silent prayers. And that's what I love about him. Sometimes you can't pray out loud. And sometimes it's too heavy, like in the case of Hannah. It was too heavy for her to even say it out loud. She did not go to the priest or anything, but she just prayed. How often has God answered prayers that you never spoke? You know, you never even spoke a word of the issue, but God saw right into your heart. How intimate was this for you? You know, when God just answers a prayer, and he's done that for me so many times. I said, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even talk about it, Lord. We didn't even talk about it this morning in prayer, but he saw your heart. He saw where that thorn was. He saw where that prick was in your heart. And he responded to it. you know, because there was a silence, you know, in your prayer. Sometimes I believe even our spirit is praying, even though our mind may not be, our spirit is praying, you know. I just know the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with words that cannot be uttered. That's what the Bible says. So I believe even the Holy Spirit will make intercession for us, and God responds. The psalmist wrote, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You understand my thoughts from afar." And that's Psalm 139 and 2. And then as we look at the story of Hannah, we see this is from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it says, Hannah was speaking in her heart or her mind. Only her lips were moving and her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Get rid of your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman with a despairing spirit. I have not been drinking wine or any intoxicating drink, for I have poured out my soul before the Lord." And again, not speaking a word, she says, "I've poured out my soul before the Lord." Folks, sometimes there are no words. Mm-hmm. When some anguishes, there are no words. You just are before the Lord. Just remind of this song that Tamla Mann sings called "Take Me to the King." And I love that part. There's a part in the song where she says, "Take me to the King." And she said, "And just leave me there. Just leave me there at his feet. Just leave me there, you know, because I just need to be at his feet, because there's no words. There's nothing else I can say." She said, "My heart is torn in pieces. My heart is broken before you, Lord, and my heart is torn in pieces. So just take me to the King and just leave me there at his feet." The verse 16 says, Do not regard your maidservant as wicked and a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and bitter provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." Yes. Hannah said, "Let your maidservant find grace and favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And that's 1 Samuel 1:13-18. And note, she didn't even tell Eli. Even when he confronted her about everything, she still did not speak what was going on with her. But yet he agreed with her. And I believe that was a spirit thing, a Holy Spirit thing. He agreed with Hannah. He agreed that, you know, that God would grant her petition as she came before the Lord and in despairing with a request so deep that she could not even speak it out loud. The next point of your lesson says, sometimes you may have a request before the Lord that you do not feel to share with any other human being. Have you ever been there? You know, you couldn't even talk about it. I can't even talk to my best friend about this one. You know, I just need to bring it to the Lord. Note that Hannah never told Eli the priest what her request was, but he came into agreement with her concerning her sincere petition before God. After his agreement with her, Hannah was no longer sad. It appears Eli's blessing on her petition gave her the confirmation she needed from God. And God will give confirmation to the silent prayers. God will gently whisper, "I hear you and I see you." Have you ever been there? "I hear you and I see you." Nobody, even if you told somebody, they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand. See, people don't have enough intel on situations sometimes to tell you what to do or to how to feel about it. Only God knows. God knew you when you were being knitted in your mother's womb, and now he knows. All through your life, he saw everything that happened to you. We're complicated beings, I'm telling you. And when things happen to us, boy, we're complicated. That's why we have a whole branch of science just for our minds, you know, psychiatry and psychology, because we are so complicated. And so many things of our past can make us feel a certain way or be a certain way. It keeps us silent sometimes from talking about things that have pained us. But God hears the silent prayer, even when we're quiet before him. You know, even when we didn't, you know, sometimes we've come into prayer and we didn't even request it. But God dealt with it anyways. You know, we didn't want to talk about it. You know, we were done with that situation. As far as we're concerned, we locked it up in a closet in our mind. But God comes along and he deals with it. Oh, he sweeps out those dirty closets we have, those little stinky closets that we have closed off things to and we don't want anybody to mess with or go in there. And Jesus will go right in there because he wants you whole. He wants you healed. Because that thing, you know, that thing is keeping you diseased spiritually. And we don't even know it sometimes. Why we're irritable. Why we're this way. Why we're that way. You know, why we're got certain attitudes. Why we have certain thoughts coming in our minds that we entertain. Oh, because there's things that have happened that we don't want to deal with. We don't want to talk with. But I tell you, when you get silent before the Lord, I'm telling you, Jesus is the best psychiatrist out there. I'm telling you, you need a good shrink. Oh, he can shrink. He can certainly speak to you. So as you pray, request the voice of the Holy Spirit in your quiet time. And, you know, as we end up this part of the lesson, I'm not going to go any further. I want you guys to listen to the words of this song. And I just want you to think about some things. It's a song by Donnie McClurkin, Speak to My Heart, Holy Spirit. You know, and the words of this song are so profound. I just want you to hear this words, and I just want you to just listen to this.